something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
I'm Alan Masters, my brother David Masters, and our friend Mike Jones. It is Thursday.
Isn't it Thursday?
I lose track.
It's also Thursday in Brazil, by the way, and we got an email from somebody listening in Brazil that you sent me out.
Oh, you know. Just so you know, I mean, people listen all over the world. It's really cool. That's the thing about the internet. We're on radio stations all across America. That's cool. But the internet is all across the world.
Isn't that great?
And so, yes, you can listen and you can download our app. There's a kind of a strange way you have to do it because of the app we bought, which is kind of stupid, but it's my fault, so I accept it. You have to go to fhuvisionapp.com and then we give you a code. I mean, because look, you don't want people, you know, downloading your whole life. And so we make kind of sure that it's a secure place. And anyway, fhuvisionapp.com. Get your code. You can download it and listen whenever you want. Which is cool. The app world is really neat.
I like listening to, you know, especially Tuesday with Pat Kelly is one of my favorites.
Well, you know what? What about Thursday and Friday when you're here?
I occasionally listen to that, but I don't like hearing myself.
You know what's funny? I don't like hearing myself either, but every now and then I hear myself and I go,
wow, that was brilliant.
Wow, do I need to change the way I communicate?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, isn't that the honing process?
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, you're whittling away at who you're supposed to be. Are you happy with who you are? No, if you aren't, keep whittling. Let me tell you a story real quick. Because David, I ran across a guy from a local church here. And just a really neat guy. Born and raised in small town USA. He was actually from Cave Junction, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And which is just a little pot town now at this point because of the legalization of this stuff. But anyway, he's one of the elders of a local church. And we were talking about life and, you know, how the young kids are being indoctrinated in the schools. And we have the school, Brighton Academy, that we started many years ago that we're about to figure out what to do, what's next with that. But we were talking about, you know, just how we grew up. And he says, you know, when you guys first moved here, so that we're going back 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. 40 plus. He says, I was a young man and your dad said something that pissed off my dad. My dad was a logger. You know how rough loggers are, right? And this man, by the way, that I'm talking to is about 6'3". He looks like Mr. Incredible. Small waist, big giant shoulders, big handsome guy. Big giant rack of teeth. When he smiles, you just go, that's Mr. Incredible. But anyway, we're talking about this. He says, your dad said that all the men in this town are a bunch of wimps. And the reason was because they weren't standing up to the board of directors. And what do you call the city board? What do they call that? The commissioners?
The city council.
The city council.
And then the county is the commissioners.
There you go. Yeah. So my dad was always fighting with somebody, which is kind of fun because he's fighting for what he thinks is right, right? We're supposed to be warriors for God, and he's fighting for what he thinks is right. And these stupid commissioners and the county board of this, that, and the other, and they're always attacking my dad, trying to pull him down because, you know, he's a man on a mission, right? And like in the video games, when you're getting close to the pot of gold, the demons and the zombies come out of the walls and attack you. And that's what was going on. So the guy says, your dad said that all the men in this town are a bunch of wimps. They should stand up for themselves and they should stand up against this political system in this town, the good old boy system. Remember all this?
Mm-hmm.
You were around then, weren't you?
I wasn't totally around, but I know that there was a lot of controversy.
Yes, lots
around
of controversy.
That period.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. Well, listen, when we moved here to town, small town Oregon, the Ku Klux Klan was still meeting in town.
Mm.
That's what kind of town this was. And here's this little Jewish guy, Judeo-Christian man, that moves into town right about the time that the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh and
right.
Jim Jones.
Yeah, that was
right?
That was the thing that everybody feared. They feared a repeat of Rajneesh Param.
Right. And here comes Roy Masters from California bringing his cult.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
which is,
right.
And so when people, by the way, I think this is hilarious. I called on something the other day and the lady goes, she answers the phone. I'm going to come back to the story because this is hilarious. She says, hello? And I said, hello, I'm calling about your property because I found a piece of property I want to buy. She goes, what's your name? I said, my name's Alan Masters. And she says, oh, I know who your father is. I thought to myself, well, how did it get here so quickly, right? Because she is this kind of little old lady, 92 years old. And I said, yep. I said, I'm the cult family. And she says, what are you talking about? I said, well, everybody says my father has a cult. And she starts laughing. She says, oh, I don't believe any of that anyway. And I thought to myself, there are people that have a little bit of vision. You know what they say, in the valley of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And there are people that have a little bit of vision, which is better than none, better than being blind. And this lady, after I got to know her, I ended up buying the property, by the way, she is the coolest old 92-year-old lady still doing her own business at 92.
Wow.
And I mean, she was so cool. We talked about all politics and all this stuff. And she was always smiling at me like she was just loving on me. And the Masters thing in this town, we were like dirt when we first moved here. We were like cult leaders and all that. So that's what happened.
Well, happens. You know, in order for a cult to have credibility as a cult, you can't contradict its leader. And that's one thing about Roy. He always said, you don't have to do what I say. You don't have to follow me. In fact, he discouraged people.
Oh, he called them Roybots.
Roybots,
yes. People that were
mimicking
him, yes.
And so these two things don't go together.
Right, right. And also, you can't join. We don't have like a congregation.
No membership.
No membership is the right word. Anyway, back to my friend whose father was a logger. He says he was so mad at your dad. He says, I'm no wimp. Remember, he says, all these men in this town are a bunch of wimps. And they wrote that in the newspaper. Mm. He says, I'm going to show that Roy Masters. I'm going to punch him in the nose. He remembers this from almost 40 years ago. And so he said, I was a young guy. And I thought, who is this Roy Masters guy? Anyway, so our dad, of course, has passed away here just a few months ago. And I'm hearing all these great stories that come out because I would love to have introduced his dad to my dad. He never got to meet my dad, his dad. And I said, is your dad still alive? He says, yeah. He says, you know, it's real funny. He said a couple of years later, he started looking into this Roy Masters guy. And you know what he said to me one day? He goes, that Roy Masters guy's right. All these guys are a bunch of wimps. So just all you got to do is not react, not try and prove people wrong. Yes. Just do what you're doing in your life if it's the right path and you're doing the right thing and you're walking the walk and talking the talk. And it will show for itself who is right about whatever that thing
was. Well, you know what they say now? They say, what's the difference between conspiracy theory and the truth? 8 months.
Okay.
You know, and that's how it's working now because it's speedier. But
well, I got to get some more conspiracy theories because all the ones that I used to talk about have all come true.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
It's that. And what are you wearing? What does your shirt say here? It says, if you trust the government, you don't know history.
And that is a fact.
Look at you. That's funny. That's exactly right. My daughter bought the shirt about George Orwell.
Yeah.
It says, make George Orwell
fiction again.
Fiction again. Right. Yes. You saw it.
Yeah, I have it. I have that shirt.
Great. Yes. It's just great. Anyway, I have had a very interesting last few months dealing with, of course, David and I's father and mother both passing away within a short time. And David and I, you know, poking around in the dark, trying to figure out what to do with this show that has been on the air over half a century, right? And what do we do with it? How do we do it? How are we going to try and fill the shoes of the giant? Well, unfortunately, the world has changed so much in the last decade, the last 5 years. We had Trump in there for 4 years, and I personally think he did a great job. Our America was winning, right? And I got tired of winning.
Yeah.
Remember he used to say that, yes. Trump, you're going to win so much, you're going to get tired of winning.
I didn't quite get there.
I know, I'm joking. Yes. But the point is that we are losing right now.
Yeah.
We are losing. God, we've got a loser
awful.
In there
just
doing
so
his loser thing. He's a puppet. And we've got the succubus as his vice president.
Yeah.
Incubus and succubus.
That's amazing.
Vice president and vice president, the puppets, incubus and succubus. And I don't know. I don't know what's next. But here comes Trump again. He's riding in on his white horse. And we're seeing him start to do his rallies. And, man, he looks great. Doesn't he look great?
Yeah.
He looks great. The best part is you can do a Trump rally. And I saw that online now. They're starting. The movement has begun. Here he comes. I love it. Guys, I'm not going to be able to be here for the whole show. I got a meeting, and I got one more segment. All right, fair enough.
Okay.
All right, and then you got to take it over with David, and And David's being very quiet. He's like, all right, Alan's only got one segment. I'm going to let him blow his horn.
I can tolerate that.
Blow his bugle. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. David and Alan Masters and Mike Jones, this is Perilous World Radio. Don't forget, check out our website, fhu.com. Learn how to meditate. There's a 7-minute meditation that will literally change your life for the better. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back. Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain. Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for Roy Masters PTSD Military. You'll be glad you did.
There is no escaping the challenges of life. Everyone has to learn how to deal with stress. The bottom line is this: if you don't control stress, stress will control you. Go to FHU.com. That's www.fhu.com. And find out how you can control stress.
Every night I'd take a drive out into the wilderness area around here and sometimes wept because I couldn't figure out what was still wrong. What he did for me is he bore witness to everything that was already running through my mind, and through doing that, helped me delve into my past and see where things went wrong. And as the resentment has fallen away, as he says, without trying, my bad habits are disappearing.
Visit www.fhu.com. Learn a simple technique that will change the way you deal with stress. For more information, call 1-800-877-3227 or visit fhu.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
The Great Woke Jones is here. I mean, the Great White Hopes.
The Great Woke Jones.
What?
What is that?
Mike Jones is here. I don't know. I'm just playing with you.
Hey, I got a question for you. You're a car guy. So I did my driver's test in a 1973 Ford Maverick.
Yeah, and okay. There's a Maverick coming back.
And now
back.
There's
it's a
Maverick.
Truck.
It's a truck.
Yeah, right.
What is that?
It's Ford Motor Company taking a name that they own and using it because it has a certain amount
because
of cash.
Because nobody remembers what it was before.
Oh, no. Yeah. Us older white-haired guys remember what it is.
Right.
But it's kind of a bizarre thing. But it's a nice little truck, by the way, under 20 grand. I don't know why you're talking about that, because I wanted to ask David what he thought about what I said.
All right. So to be clear, back in the day when our dad first started on radio, and for many, many years, for many decades, in Los Angeles, California, the chief of police would come and sit in with him on his radio show. Doris Day, I met her in his office. She came in to buy his books. Lucille Ball had her driver come in and pick up books and tapes at the time. George Benson, the guitar player, called, and I answered his call one day. He was calling to see what my dad had to say.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie Albert, you know, Mae West. I mean, these people, my dad was extremely, and our dad was extremely respected, and he was a person of a unique individual. And I want to say about him.
Well, David, that's why we thought it was ridiculous what they were doing to us.
Well,
in this
There's a bigger picture that I have to, because when you talk about cult leaders, everybody thinks that that's a, you know, and it is. It's a weird thing. People in a cult are weird. But I want to set the stage here because my dad and our dad was a very respected man, and he was on television programs. I mean, Sally, Jesse, Raphael. He was always the person they wanted to get on the TV for an alternative point of view. Now, his friend moves up here. His name was Bob McQuain, a very good friend of the family, still is today. His kids work for our brother Michael.
He's still there, but he's been dead for 20 years. But anyway,
yeah, I'm saying his family is still friendly with our family. And anyway, he says, hey, there's a ranch up here. So we moved here. And at the time, here's a statistic that will blow your mind. The area, Southern Oregon, had so many different churches in it that there was one church for every 300 people. Now, what happens when a guy who is highly respected and has a national name moves into a little small town area and starts to attract attention? You do the politics of personal destruction because you don't want to lose people from your church. And that is the only reason any of this garbage, any of this nonsense, any of this crap ever came to the fore.
Right, and the power that they had in the local government as well. It was a good old boy system. But
absolutely. You talked about the Ku Klux Klan. Yeah, they used to have parades right down Main Street.
Right, and this happens in every 20s, small town. So. When people move to small towns.
Oh, no, Mike. No. What? When we moved here, we had bomb threats down at the FHU building, and it was the activity of white supremacists at the time because my dad
That's why I called you the great white. Mike's the great white woke.
The FBI had a little field office here because of the number of calls that we had to put in because of the white supremacists were threatening to blow us up. So just so you know.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, though, is that as well respected as our dad was, it didn't ever bother him that he wasn't respected here at all. It was the fact that they were trying to cheat him and take advantage of laws and the rules of the town.
That was the original cancel culture.
Exactly.
If you are a person that stood out, if you are a person that said something, if you challenged the status quo in any way, which basically he didn't. He just said things that were true that the average person was afraid to say. Today we have the same problem. Yeah. People that tell the truth today are canceled, and they are attacked, and they are roundly tried. It's the politics of personal destruction.
The great white woke got to stop this.
How am I going to do that?
No, I mean you.
Oh, me stop doing it. Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, see, they bring their enemy on the inside. What is the saying? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Yeah,
but also the other one that's a good is I'd rather be your friend than your enema.
Yeah. Yes, I concur with that one.
You know what? So a person said to me the other day, if you do that, everyone's going to think you're an a-hole. And I said, I don't care. And I thought to myself how funny it is that people go by what people think about them versus whether it's the right thing to do or not. And I just honestly, I've gotten to the point where, yes, I used to be, like most of us in this world, a people pleaser. I mean, you're molding and creating your life. You want people to like you. Fortunately, as I'm in my now seventh decade, am I in my seventh decade or am I sixth decade? I'm in my seventh decade because I'm 61.
Right. Yeah. So you have achieved six decades
I have
already.
Finally received total consciousness about this whole people pleasing thing because you get nowhere with it. You get nowhere with it. You might as well stand up for what you believe because you either stand for something or you'll fall for anything.
That's what happens. Old people don't care anymore.
They just don't care. And that's why people love to hear them because they say what the truth is instead of, what my group wants.
Boy, they're trying to put an end to that, aren't they?
Boy, they really are. I think that's what this whole COVID thing is. Yeah. Notice how it took out the old people. It was concentrated.
Wow, maybe it was engineered that way.
Yeah, to take out the old people that will stand up for what they believe. They're the greatest, our older generation, the greatest generation of all time. Because they fought in the wars and they did all this stuff and they had to work through poverty and everything else.
Well, and they had the experience of life that they can relate to other impressionable people that are younger.
And they had not been completely programmed to death the way that our kids are programmed to death, not to life. They aren't freed from the programming to live. They are programmed to death.
Yeah, that's what this whole wokeness, critical race theory, critical theory in general, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. And then, you know, when I say a program to death, you see how many people are committing suicide? Literally. You have no hope. Bang. And it's over. Let's just get out of here. Let's just, this pain is too much. I can't take it. My own mind is driving me say, bang, and it's over. Or sadly, hang themselves, slit their wrist, whatever form they take, right? But anything is better than what's going on inside that mind. Back to our dad's original book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. So I don't know. I just think that this programming this world has with video games, with television programming, with the lying, disgust in my voice, yucky face I'm making, lying media. Oh my gosh, what liars they are. And I got to tell you, I watch Tucker Carlson. I love him.
Yeah.
I love what he stands for. I love Sean Hannity. I love what he stands for. I love the truth tellers, and there are so few of them. I yearn to be that courageous in my life, to be able to stand up and speak. And that's what I'm trying to do. Listen, I'm just moving forward. I'm an old guy. I talk like an old guy now. But I got a young spirit. All right, I'm going to get out of here. You guys have fun.
My David? Pronouns are me, myself, and I, Alan. That's all I can tell you.
All right. Mike, have fun. David, have fun. You guys, thank you for listening, and thanks for supporting the foundation. FHU.com. I'm Alan Masters. The guys will be back right after this. Stay with us.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Forced to put the mask back on just 10 days after dropping the mandate. There's been a surge in Wuhan virus cases in Israel, so the mask is back. And in countries around the world, lockdowns have returned across continents. In Australia, 70% of its population is living under COVID restrictions. Bangladesh has entered a nationwide lockdown again. Curfews have been reimposed in South Africa. The Delta variant has triggered a fresh wave.
Because Trump presided over the greatest crime rise in modern American history. The murder rate shot up 26% and mass shootings spiked. Hate crime spiked more than 20% during his presidency.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
How do you like my new bottom intro, Mike?
God, Joyless Behar, she is really something.
Yeah, amazing. But you know, the panic mindset, the panic mentality.
Yeah.
Wow, the Delta variant.
Yeah, we were just having an argument about this last night. She's going, oh, my God, the Delta variant. And then she's talking about the fires that are going on around here with this, you know, hyperbolic sense in her voice there. And I'm just just take it easy. This is just chill out. There's nothing to be freaked out about here at all.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing. Freaking you out is what they do best.
Yeah.
Because with
it's
that,
the point.
With your reaction to whatever it is that they're laying down, you know, if you're picking it up, they actually are controlling you through that. And on Monday, I went into this whole thing because I found out, as I was looking through the news, that Pfizer had put out a anti-smoking pill called Chantix, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Guess what? They found, and they've actually stopped selling it because they found that it has cancer-causing agents in it.
Oh, really?
This pill has been around since 2006. So I want to play just a
few and it's been
minutes.
Around actually quite a bit before that because actually Chantix is just a rebranded Wellbutrin, which is an antidepressant medication that they discovered had a side effect of making people lose their interest in smoking.
Okay, now listen to this. This is from Monday. I talked about Chantix, and I got a couple of clips on this, but I want you to hear this, Mike.
Researchers in Britain are calling on the government to halt their use of coronavirus vaccines immediately after discovering potentially toxic side effects. Here's one America's Pearson Sharp.
More and more evidence from around the world is pouring in that raises doubts about the safety and efficacy of the vaccine for the Chinese coronavirus. Now, a new report from doctors in England calls for a complete cessation of using COVID vaccines on humans. That's according to the UK-based evidence-based medicine consultancy group, which submitted its findings to Britain's Department of Health, claiming there is, quote, more than enough evidence to declare the COVID-19 vaccines unsafe for use in humans. Doctors say after examining official public health records, they looked at a number of reported side effects from the vaccine, including bleeding and clotting, unexpected immune system reactions, unusual pain reactions, neurological responses, loss of sight, hearing, speech, or smell, or adverse reactions affecting pregnancy, including miscarriage.
Now, I want you to just think about the disclaimers on most of the pharmaceutical ads trying to offer you some kind of fake remedy or cure for what condition you may have. So you're really, in a sense, you've been already conditioned, brainwashed, hypnotized, desensitized to the disclaimers of death, side effects of bleeding to death, vomiting, you know, head exploding. I mean, if you read, I should actually just find one, just play it on the air so you can hear. Okay, so what did I do? I went ahead and I pulled this actual Chantix ad. Play it.
Herb quit smoking with Chantix and support. Talk to your doctor about Chantix and a support plan that's right for you. Some people have had changes in behavior, hostility, agitation, depressed mood, and suicidal thoughts or actions while taking or after stopping Chantix. If you notice agitation, hostility, depression, or changes in behavior, thinking, or mood that are not typical for you, or if you develop suicidal thoughts or actions, stop taking Chantix and call your doctor right away. Talk to your doctor about any history of depression or other mental health problems, which can get worse while taking Chantix. Some people can have allergic or serious skin reactions to Chantix, some of which can be life-threatening. If you notice swelling of face, mouth, throat, or a rash, stop taking Chantix and see your doctor right away. Tell your doctor which medicines you're taking, as they may work differently when you quit smoking. Chantix dosing may be different if you have kidney problems. The most common side effect is nausea. Patients also reported trouble sleeping and vivid, unusual, or strange dreams. Until you know how Chantix may affect you, use caution when driving or operating machinery. Chantix should not be taken with other quit smoking products.
The urges weren't like they used to be, and that helped me quit.
Talk to your doctor to find out if prescription Chantix is right for you.
You know, that entire ad, Mike, I mean, like 89% of it was about the side effects.
Yeah,
right?
I can't imagine anything was a problem with this drug. I mean,
no. Oh, no, of course.
Sounds
not.
Totally innocuous to me.
Let's just say, for example, that you're on Chantix and then you get the Pfizer, because Pfizer created Chantix, and then you take the Pfizer created vaccine. Okay, so I don't know how much time we have left in the segment. I do have another segment, though, that's about 2 minutes. Please play the next clip for me. Well, you have been conditioned. There's no doubt about it. You have been brainwashed, a.k.a. hypnotized. Because when you're watching your favorite shows on the boob tube, a.k.a. the TV, I don't even know what they call it anymore. It used to be the television, but whatever it is now, it's the propaganda communication device, which delivers to you all the necessary brainwashing elements and the desensitization of impending doom, and they actually make it look like it's an acceptable side effect. You see, the acceptable side effect of taking Chantix, for example, well, it would help you stop smoking. It would cease and help to diminish the cravings for tobacco. Yes, tobacco. And at the same time, though, you might bleed to death and have cancer of various kinds, and who God knows what would happen to you as you take the Chantix. You've been conditioned to say, but it's worth it. If I could learn how to stop smoking, I mean, I don't even have to. I just take a pill and it makes me stop. And of course the side effects are going to kill me, but I'm going to die anyway someday. So as long as I stop smoking and I'll feel better about that, then I can accept the downside.
Researchers explained that the products in the vaccine are toxic to humans and called for an immediate halt to the vaccination program to conduct a full investigation into these harmful effects. According to the VAERS website, a U.S. government site which tracks adverse reactions to vaccines, nearly 6,000 people have died as a result of taking this vaccine. Some 20,000 more have been hospitalized. Nearly 2,000 others have come down with Bell's palsy, a paralysis of the facial muscles. And 44,000 people have checked themselves in to urgent care. That's not to mention the 5,900 life-threatening reactions people have had directly from receiving the vaccine, including 2,200 people who suffered heart attacks as a result of getting the injection. And this is all government data.
Now, what they've decided to do, what our good old government, like your T-shirt says, if you believe government, what, don't? I don't know. Don't believe the government because they've decided to stop recording adverse reactions to their wonderful Pfizer and other vaccines.
Right. Okay, it's too problematic.
Yeah. And so here's the idea. The idea is that you've been conditioned. You watch these TV commercials. You hear the Chantix commercial, and it's 89% side effect warning. But when they show the people having a great time, you think to yourself, well, it's the same with the vaccine.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, maybe I'll have a side effect. And I ask the question, and I'll ask it again, Mike, of you. If you knew there was 2% human fecal matter in your vaccine, would you still take it?
No, of course not.
Why not, man? What's the matter with you? Huh? What's the matter with you?
Yeah, I'm amazed at this demonizing of anybody who isn't stupid enough to go along with what they're doing.
It's
really troubling. And the thing is that they can just go ahead and shut dissent off now, because if you don't think there isn't, an incestuous relationship between big tech and government, guess again.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, and look here, we know that that's called lobbying. And they have, literally probably billions of dollars to go ahead and buy people's loyalties. And that, and of course, I think Pat Kelly said to me that betrayal is one of the lowest levels of hell in Greek mythology, the betrayers. Mm-hmm. And look what happened to Judas. It's called the Judas syndrome, in my opinion, because we have people that are telling the truth. And what happens to them? They get crucified. So, you're making a choice about who you want to be every single day, every time you open your mouth, every communication you have or fail to have with somebody. You are determining your future, your destiny, your fate. Let's put it that way. And we all know that the information that's being restricted, even Bill Maher chastised, he excoriated Google and Facebook for suppressing information about vaccine
amazing.
Side effects.
Amazing to hear that from him.
Yeah. And so people that are – and he still doesn't like Republicans. He doesn't like Christians. He doesn't like people who are conservative. But here's the problem. There is a certain degree of truth that we have to have operating in our lives in order for us to even function even marginally. If you remove all truth from your life, then what are you? Right?
Well, listen.
You're a Democrat.
If we're going to defeat what we now face, there's going to have to be a coming together of the leaning left and leaning right. There's no question about it.
Oil and water.
The intellectual honesty from Bill Maher there.
Yeah. But the point is that the psychopolitical mixture is impossible. You can't take something that is an antithesis to the other and integrate it. It just doesn't work. Have you ever tried to mix oil and water? I mean, come on. It doesn't work, and we know it. And we got to get rid of the oil
I have something to say about this, but there's not enough time. I'll catch it in the next.
When we come back, I will hit you up for that, okay? You're going to lay it down. I'm going to pick it up.
Sure.
That's it. Okay. It is Perilous World Radio. Please visit FHU.com. There is truth that can set you free. If it isn't the truth that sets you free, I don't know what it is. All right. David and Mike, we'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Imagine hearing a voice that doesn't use any words. A quiet knowing that's always right and comes from within yourself. Listening to this voice is like putting your mind on autopilot and allowing it to perform actions without your learned experience interfering. You don't know where it's coming from or why, but you definitely know that it's truthful. The good news is that your inner voice, or your sixth sense, is real, and it's called intuition. Top scientists and leaders such as Albert Einstein and Steve Jobs attributed their achievements to their gut feelings. But what makes a person more connected to their gut feeling? Who benefits from the advantages of intuition the most? The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com systematically reveals how to trust your intuition. The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com is the door to what Jonah Salk expressed. Intuition will tell the thinking mind where to look next. Be ahead of the curve, not behind it, at FHU.com.
Life itself has a hypnotic effect on us. So a person that is aware and conscious of hypnotic suggestions cannot be hypnotized. What happens is that we forget that we have a choice that we can make about who we are and what we do and what we don't want to do. But at the same time, if you are willing to participate, you're already 50% of the way there. Why? Because they've already accepted the first suggestion, and now the second suggestion is being followed. Once a person has given their choice-making apparatus over, and it starts with a seemingly inconsequential agreement to do something that the person is suggesting. That, in and of itself, is the nature of the power of suggestion.
The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com systematically reveals how to trust your intuition. The Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com. Be ahead of the curve, not behind it, at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
I've read Mao Zedong. I've read Karl Marx. I've read Lenin. That doesn't make me a communist. So what is wrong with understanding, having some situational understanding about the country for which we are here to defend? And I personally find it offensive that we are accusing the United States military, our general officers, our commissioned, non-commissioned officers, of being, quote, woke.
So President Trump, I just love saying that, was asked about General Milley Vanilli. And here's what he had to say.
General Milley, and I watched his statement. It was pathetic. I watched the statements of some others, your head of the Navy. It was pathetic. And they didn't talk that way when I was around, I can tell you. But right. They didn't talk that way, or I would have gotten rid of them in 2 minutes. But in particular, Navy and Milley, just sad, pathetic statements.
What happened to America? What happened, Democrats? What did you do to this country? What did you do? You're like the dog that pooped on the floor. I'm sorry to say it that way. What did you do? Bad, Democrats. Bad. Yeah, I'm going to rub your nose in it. Look what you've done. Look what you've done. Bad. I don't know you. I don't know who you are. I don't think you know who you are. And I think you are pathetic. Just like Trump said about General Milley Vanilli.
So there you go, Mike. Now, you have a comment to make. I just had to replay that because I thought that was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, no, I think so too. We were talking about Bill Maher, and I suggested the possible meeting of minds of political factions that don't normally agree with one another. And you played a clip last week with, well, it was James Lindsay is what you played.
Yes.
Peter Boghossian was there with
the Trojan
him,
horse.
But he was right, exactly. That guy's a liberal. Okay.
No.
And he is one of the leaders. In fact, I highly recommend the New Discourses podcast. It's a wealth of information on wokeism in general. It's pretty heady stuff, but it will give you a pretty decent understanding of what the roots of wokeism are, which are essentially neo-Marxism married to postmodernism.
Now,
and it's,
Let me make a distinction because I did not say liberal Democrats. I said Democrats because Democrats are ideologically broken people. A liberal, I will take a liberal any day as long as they are
in the classic
literally
sense,
and
you mean.
Actually, yes, open-minded.
Yeah,
but leftist. It's not liberals that are necessarily the problem, but it is Democrats because they don't think for themselves. They think for the talking points, just like the mainstream media. They think what they are told, and that is the problem. I said, I don't think they know who they are, and I'm quite sure that they don't know who they are. And I'm going to talk about obsession when we come back in the next hour, because I've got a doctor explaining what obsession is and how you can tell if somebody is a Democrat, not necessarily a liberal. A liberal is not necessarily a Democrat. There are a lot of people, let me put it to you this way, people who are liberal, they are socially liberal, but they're fiscally conservative. That is not a Democrat. Democrats are not fiscally conservative. And if you call yourself a Democrat and you're fiscally conservative, then you're lying about who you really are. And you're taking something like a shield to protect yourself from the other living dead that you're walking with, because you know what they'll do. They'll savage you. They'll savage you. They'll destroy you. Go ahead.
The point that I was making essentially is that there are many on the left, or should I say Democrats, who are at this place now where it's a bridge too far. They can't go there anymore. The leftism, the wokeism, they can't. It's just too crazy for them, even, you know? I mean, they were all, I apparently tolerant of the crazy part of the Democratic Party, thinking, well, this is just our crazy aunt and we have to be loyal to them because they're part of the family. And now it's just, they're done. And I think there's going to be, I'm hoping that there's going to be a huge movement. I'm stuck between this, you know, that we may wake up from this, and the possible inevitability of the end, you know, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I'm hoping for, you know, people to wake up instead of woking up.
Well, and here's the problem. There will be people that will wake up as a result of the strain, the pressure, the suffering. But there will be people who will go even deeper into their sleep as a result of that same thing. True. And who was talking about suicide? I mean, you know, to a person who – see, suicide is not just a place of despair. Suicide represents an alternative reality. And – at the core of that alternative reality, there is peace. That's what you have to realize. They are believing a lie because they do not believe that this life, for whatever reason, there is, in other words, if it's a revenge motive, so they're going to kill themselves because they hate somebody, or if they feel like they don't have any point in living. But the,
or they
the
think,
lie
they
that
think
the
they're
kernel of
turn
the lie
off the
is
hell
there's
switch.
Peace. That's right, exactly.
Yeah.
They think they're going to turn it off. There's more to all of this, and I want, when we come back, I'm going to talk about obsessive compulsive disorder, because I am coining a new phrase right now, a new term. It is VOCD, virus obsessive compulsive disorder. VOCD. Put it in your head. When you hear people with VOCD, you'll know that they are Democrats. They're not necessarily liberals. They're Democrats. You can email me at david@fhu.com. It's David and Mike. Alan taking some time to do what he needs to do today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
You can tell that somebody has a mental disorder. Yes, I'm calling it what it is. It is a mental disorder when a person obsesses over something. Now, there are many things that people obsess over. And obsession is something that I think maybe everybody has to some degree. It might be a small amount of obsession. It could be a huge obsession. But when something is very, very obsessed over, such as vaccines.
Or the Gay Men's Chorus song.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Oh, I have the other one that we'll play. But I do want to say, by the way, welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you. I want to play this from Dr. Vincent Greenwood from the Washington Obsessive Compulsive Center. And here's how he describes obsessive compulsive disorder. But mainly, I want to focus on the obsession part of it. Go ahead.
There are three main components to OCD: obsessions, compulsions, and avoidance of situations the person with OCD perceives as dangerous. First, obsessive thinking. What is the quality of obsessive thinking, and how might we distinguish it from the more typical worries that any of us have throughout the day? Obsessive thoughts are intrusive and unwanted. They pop up in our minds against our will. Obsessive thoughts are sticky, persistent, hard to get rid of. Our efforts to try to get rid of obsessive thoughts usually, perversely, have the opposite effect. Obsessive thoughts are extreme, often focusing on catastrophic and very unlikely events. And obsessive thoughts trigger painful emotions, specifically feelings of anxiety, guilt, or shame.
You know, how many times have you seen videos of people being beat up because they weren't wearing a mask? Now, you tell me, people being chased out of stores, you tell me, how many times have you seen people threatened for telling the truth about what they believe to be, anyway, the truth about the dangers of vaccines and or the dangers of mask wearing? These people who react this way are exactly what this doctor just described. Mm. They perceive things to be extremely dangerous. Yes. And in that perception, there is a mental component. There's something wrong with these people. Now, I contend that Democrats, and not necessarily liberals, so let me just make that distinction very, very clear. A liberal is a person traditionally thought of as being open-minded. And I think that there are many people who are liberal Democrats who will eventually flee from the Democrat side of the equation because they see that these people are not open-minded, that they are literally closed-minded. They're crazy.
It's rigid orthodoxy at this point.
Now, back in 2008, and many people will not remember this, but I remember it because I remember that it was the perfect representation of the Democrat Party. Here's the headline. Democrats drop God from party platform. Here's the story. God's name has been removed from the Democratic National Committee platform. CBN News reports a paragraph in the 2008 platform that stated, "We need a government that stands up for the hopes, values, and interests of working people and gives everyone willing to work hard the chance to make the most of their God-given potential," has been reconstructed to remove the words God-given. The new paragraph states, "We gather to reclaim the basic bargain that built the largest middle class and the most prosperous nation on earth. The simple principle that in America, hard work should pay off, responsibility should be rewarded, and each one of us should be able to go as far as our talent and drive take us for a platform that, as CBS News says, echoes President Barack Obama's call for higher taxes on wealthier Americans while backing same-sex marriage and abortion rights. Some critics suggested it was a surprise God's name would be dropped as well." Now listen to this audio from 2008.
Affirmative. The motion is adopted.
And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
There were some boos, as you heard there, here in the hall about that decision. Now, last night here on Special Report, I asked Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin about the removal of God and Jerusalem from the platform this year. Durbin accused me and this network of having an agenda by even asking about the omissions.
You see what happens, though, when you pull the rock up and a little bit light shines down on those cockroaches and those worms and those centipedes that live underneath that rock. They attack you. They want to tear your eyes out. They want to get inside of you and eat you from the inside out. So anyway, any thoughts on that, Mike, before we move on?
Yeah, it's an apt description. It's the condition. It's where we're at right now, especially this wokeism. Is orthodoxy, and if you dare shine light on it, you will be viciously attacked. Then there was no social media to do it on. Now there is, and that's basically what social media has devolved into.
Well, yes, but it's been appropriated. You know, I mean, social media can be very, very powerfully useful. It can give information, although, as Bill Maher said, you know, he excoriated Google and Facebook. It's sort of like Beelzebub and the Antichrist. You know, I don't know which is which, and they're interchangeable, I guess. Even Bill Maher says, you're wrong. Actually, I'm going to find that audio and play it for you because it's worth listening to again. But what I do want to do is I got to go to clip 30, and here's what's happening. People are waking up. People are literally waking up. And what's happening is that because of the mistakes of not being able to think for themselves, they've put horrible, horrible people in power. And here is what's happening as a result of people who are being abused within the halls of those people. Clip 30.
A bombshell new report tonight confirming what we've been telling you all week. Kamala Harris is floundering, and the people around her are quickly losing faith that she'll ever be able to pull it together. According to a new report in Politico, quoting members of Kamala's own team, Harris's office is abusive, unhealthy, dysfunctional, and embarrassingly ineffective on everything from the border to everyday political fundraisers. Quote, ideas are ignored or met with harsh dismissals and decisions are dragged out. People are thrown under the bus. There are short fuses and it's an abusive environment. It's not a place where people feel supported. It's a place where people feel treated like
They feel treated like beep. Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, shall we just go on to the next one?
Sure.
Clip 31.
Here's the thing. I worked in a couple White Houses, right? Nobody wants to work for okay? Even in the Secret Service or on the staff, they don't. There's great guys over there. I love them. They do an amazing job. But I know the staff. I've worked with them on both sides. You see them running around. Everybody wants to work for the boss.
Right.
Nobody wants to work for the silver medal winner. All right. You don't get the Wheaties box with the silver medal. You're like the first loser. That's not the way that works. Okay. So combine that with the fact that Kamala Harris is uniquely untalented for this position.
Right.
She has no skills whatsoever. She's not well liked. She does. She can't stop cackling, and she's terrible at the job and has shown no leadership. Jesse, you know that meme on the internet? You had one job. She had one job. Just fix the border thing, and she can't even fix that.
And
so why would you want to work there?
So, you know, again, here we have the reality catching up to us. The mistakes that people have made by not thinking for themselves, by thinking, oh, it's a woman of color, and it's our first vice president of color. And Joe Biden? The loser in chief as the leader of the free world. I mean, this is like the nightmare scenario for the end of the world as we know it. I hate to say it.
So, yeah, anyway. It bothers me a little bit when they suggest, oh, you only had one job and you couldn't even do that, as though she was trying to do that.
No, she's not.
We need to understand that they are accomplishing with great success everything that they want to do right now.
Yeah.
This is not them failing at dealing with the border situation. It's them having success at kicking the border wide open and flooding the country with a new demographic.
Yeah. Well, and look, here's what's happening. People are waking up, as I said. liberal minds are starting to open again, not Democrats, and maybe even Democrats. But, you know, this is why they had to get rid of Trump, because Trump was winning over Hispanics and blacks. Those liberal minds were opening and saying, wait a minute, I want to live a good life. I want to have a good quality of life. All right. Right. When we come back, we've got more of Jesse Waters and Dan Bongino talking about the failure. This vice president is a failure. All right. We'll be right back with more.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
No matter what terrible events might have happened to you in your life, you have to choose to make something good out of all of it. At FHU.com, the Be Still and Know meditation unleashes the positive energy of present-based awareness that systematically frees you of all forms of negativity and activates your growth potential. Modern scientific research has confirmed the link between mind and body by showing the effects of thoughts and feelings on our physical health. Right now, you can't comprehend how much progress is inherent in each moment because your awareness is shackled. Our problems are not unique. There's only one explanation. We are restrained from who and what we really are and can be. The Be Still and Know exercise at FHU.com opens the door to where to go next. Be ahead of the curve, not behind it. Unleash positive energy of present-based awareness. Discover the power of the Be Still and Know meditation at FHU.com. It's your first day at work and you meet a new colleague. You've never met this person before, yet you have a positive sense you can't quite explain. Perhaps you're visiting a place for the first time and there's a magnetic feeling guiding you toward your destination. This is what many describe as intuition, an unexpected sixth sense about a situation or person. Often, intuitions pass unnoticed but play a key role in our everyday lives. The concept of intuition is often wrapped in mystery. Is it an expansion of spirituality? Well, from a scientific perspective, it has to do with your higher self. In fact, intuition is the invisible bridge between our conscious and unconscious minds. It involves information that you're not conscious of, and highly intuitive people gain insight without a known logical or rational process. In Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress at FHU.com, you will learn to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Expand your intuition and discover your true identity. Read Roy Masters' book, Cure Stress, at FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
And you see, what's happening is that truth tellers are becoming more popular. That's the truth. Truth tellers, because look, you can't subsist on wax fruit. You can't subsist on meaningless, empty ideas. What will happen is those ideas will kill you. Those meaningless, empty, it's just like empty food. If you don't eat food that actually nourishes your body, it will kill you. Just like the side effects of Chantix and the Pfizer vaccine. I mean, come on, folks. So we have people like Jesse Waters and Dan Bongino, who's now got his own show on Fox News. The value of truth tellers is going up. That's some pretty good real estate right now. Let's go ahead and play clip 32.
They have 22 people right here in this article. They say this: chaotic, low morale, bad communication, no trust, dour and tense atmosphere. The president's own team has taken notice and they are concerned. This is not a little story here. This is a big bomb that just went off. You've seen how they're trying to prop up Jill Biden. She's going to Tokyo for the Olympics. She got to go over to Europe while Kamala was down in the Southern Hemisphere. There's something's going on here in the White House with Kamala, and it looks like it's about to blow.
Yeah, I think Biden realizes that she's dragging him down. I mean, she really does. Here's the problem with Biden. I've said this 1,000 times. He's so
boring. I think it's hard to drive up his negatives. Listen, everything the guy's done is wrong. I'm a conservative. I get that.
Yeah.
But I'm just talking about the personality. He doesn't do anything. So he's just, he's hard to drive up the negatives on. Not Kamala. Those negatives go right up. Yeah.
You know, it's true. I mean, nobody ever liked her. I mean, she'd draw 50 people where Trump would draw 10,000. You know, but here's the problem. What is wrong with people that voted for this person? You actually, do you get involved with somebody you don't like? I mean, if you're dating somebody, I don't like this person, but, you know, okay, whatever. I mean, does anybody make decisions based on whatever? Does anybody make decisions on, hey, I don't really like that person, but, hey, it's better than the other person, which I really don't
yes.
like. Come on.
Yes.
Do they really? I can't imagine that.
A large number of people. I mean, do you think people voted for Joe Biden? I mean, really?
I guess not. Go ahead. I mean, I want to hear your thoughts on this.
No, it's just obvious that it was Orange Man bad. Get rid of Orange Man, the bad Orange Man.
But wait a minute. Hold on. All right. But was that really their thinking? You see, that's the whole
yes.
thing. This is what I'm talking about. No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Well, they were
brainwashed.
I mean, that's what media was brainwashing people to do for the last couple of
years. They adopted ideas, and I said it. I said it on Monday. I keep saying it. Do you really know who you are? Because, and the other question is, do you know who you are not? I think that's an even more important. And who you are not are the thoughts of other people who do not have your best interest at heart. I want to play the next clip.
Maybe
33.
Not.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, Biden, you said, doesn't do anything. He does do this. He's been eating a lot of ice cream, and the media has been talking about how many scoops he's been getting. He cannot stop eating ice cream while people are getting shot. A mom, her son's a prospect at the Annapolis football team there, gets shot by a stray. He doesn't care. He doesn't even think about it. He doesn't talk about it. He just eats his ice cream. And I just feel like the guy has just lost touch with reality.
You know, this reminds me of those the old communist thing. You know, one death is a tragedy. You know, when a million deaths is a statistic.
Right.
I mean, sadly, Jesse, this is the same story. Chicago has turned into a shooting gallery. It's more dangerous than some cities, high crime cities in Central America. They know what works and they're refusing anyway. And I know the left goes crazy when I say this, and it's good because it's true. They're not stupid and they're doing it anyway. So what's the option? They're letting people die on purpose? They're not dumb.
See, that's a statement and a question at the same time. They're letting people die on purpose because it's the up talk at the end of it, right? But yes, they are.
Well, how different is that than the mass denial of effective therapeutics for COVID-19? It's the same thing.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's the biggest question of the decade. It's the biggest question of the century. Yeah, we have the cure, as you heard, and the side effects of the vaccine, and I call it VOCD, Vaccine Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. When you hear people talking that way, you know that there's something wrong with them when they – and you see it repeated in the echo chamber. And what happens is that the mush mind of a Democrat, they know that those people don't have a firewall. They have nothing to keep those repeated messages from trickling in. And it's like a song. Have you ever heard a song that you hated? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. I've got a song that you can hate right now. Let me play this.
I know what you're doing.
You know what
I'm doing.
You're
trying to implant a song in my mind.
I got to play clip 28. Go ahead.
The vaccine.
When we poke ya, well, we know you're going to be safe from COVID infecting you. When you go out, yeah, I know you're gonna hug and not worry, it might kill you.
And we will shoot 500 vials, and we will stick 500 more just to be the vaccine. Shoots 500 vials, what are you waiting for?
Get a Pfizer! Oh, what a yes. You know, it was a great
well,
song.
Well, I like that song better than the Gay Men's Chorus one, which is awful.
Come on.
But it's your favorite.
You know
I know.
I had it stuck in my head. And you see, and I am aware of the thoughts that are in my head. And I kept thinking, but I like the song, the original song. I like the rhythm. I like the arrangement of the original song. And so what doesn't matter is that they've just taken and they've supplanted, they've laid over new lyrics because they know that people like that song. So my point is, if it can get stuck in my head, the LGBTQ BLT chorus, whatever it is, if that can get stuck in my head, then you see how mush-minded people, the clay people I want to call them because they're easily molded. The clay people, they get these things stuck in their head and they can't get it out. But what they don't realize and what they're not admitting to is they're creating VOCD, Vaccine Obsessive Compulsive Disorder. When we come back, I want to play that Dr. Vincent Greenwood for you. I want you to become aware, and it's very important that you become aware of obsessive thinking and what it's based on. And really what it's based on is it's based on expectations of terrible things happening. And they know that they can use that to condition you to think the thoughts they want you to think. And I'm asking you again, do you really know who you are? But more importantly, do you know who you're not? Do you know what the thoughts in your mind are? Or do you not? Do you not know that those are not your thoughts? Question mark. All right. David at FHU.com. If you like this show, if you hate this show, I'd like to hear from you. Mike Jones joining me today. We'll be right back with more Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Now, in this very room, you can see it when you look out your window or when you turn on your television.
It is the world that has been pulled over your eyes to blind you from the truth.
What truth?
You are a slave.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
You know, it just begs the question, what does it mean to be a slave? I mean, you know, Jesus came to set the captives free. I think that a slave and a captive are the same thing. You don't have to have chains on your body. You don't have to wear ankle bracelets or handcuffs or have a thing around your neck to be a slave, to be a captive. You are a psychological, spiritual, mental captive of people that have been using psychological conditioning techniques against you from the time that you were born. That's why the Matrix movie is so interesting. Because when you're being fed an alternate reality and you're made to believe that your thoughts are your own when they are mostly not, because they come from the outside anyway, most of them, very few people have actual authentic thinking going on, which those people, by the way, rise to the top. Whether you're evil or good, you're of authentic whatever belief system, whether it's pure evil or pure good, puts you front and center of the world. The rest are just clones. They're just like the clones from the Clone Wars and Star Wars. They just think what they are told. Now, I want to play clip 39 for you. Please play this again.
Three main components to OCD: obsessions, compulsions, and avoidance of situations the person with OCD perceives as dangerous. First, obsessive thinking. What is the quality of obsessive thinking, and how might we distinguish it from the more typical worries that any of us have throughout the day? Obsessive thoughts are intrusive and unwanted. They pop up in our minds against our will. Obsessive thoughts are sticky, persistent, hard to get rid of. Our efforts to try to get rid of obsessive thoughts usually, perversely, have the opposite effect. Obsessive thoughts are extreme, often focusing on catastrophic and very unlikely events. And obsessive thoughts trigger painful emotions, specifically feelings of anxiety, guilt, or shame.
I can't hear that enough because it really does describe VOCD. virus obsessive compulsive disorder. That's Dr. Vincent Greenwood from Washington. They have a clinic there for OCD. Dr. Vincent Greenwood, he nails it. But this is sort of conventional thinking, quite honestly, because the average psychologist, psychiatrist, a person who is dealing with mental disease, let's put it that way, they have to understand the fundamentals of OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder. Now, I want to flash back for a minute, Mike, to 1976. There are many people who weren't even here in 1976, but again, the conditioning has been present all along in the Matrix, in this Matrix world that they've created. Listen to this.
If swine flu wants to challenge me, I'm ready.
Oh, me too, brother, me too.
Get the swine flu shot. Time is running out.
Let me read to you from one of your own agency's memos planning the campaign to urge Americans to take the shot. The swine flu vaccine has been taken by many important persons, he wrote. Example, President Ford, Henry Kissinger, Elton John, Muhammad Ali, Mary Tyler Moore, Rudolf Nureyev, Walter Cronkite, Ralph Nader, Edward Kennedy, etc., etc. Did you talk to these people beforehand to find out if they planned to take the shot?
I did not know.
Did anybody?
I do not know.
Did you get permission to use their names in your campaign?
I do not know.
Mary, did you take a swine flu shot?
No, I did not.
Did you give them permission to use your name saying that you had or were going to?
Absolutely not. Never did.
Did you ask your own doctor about taking the swine flu shot?
Yes, and at the time he thought it might be a good idea. But I resisted it because I was leery of having the symptoms that sometimes go with that kind of inoculation.
A man with my government, because they knew the facts, but they didn't release those facts because if they had released them, the people wouldn't have taken. And they can come out tomorrow and tell me there's going to be an epidemic and they can drop off like flies to Mexico. I will not take another shot that my government tells me to take.
Meantime, Judy Roberts and some 4,000 others like her are still waiting for their day in court.
Yeah, they're still waiting for their day in court. And you know what? So
and
will
in 40 years, you'll get the truth about this vaccine.
Now, let me tell you about what happened in 1976. It is actually shocking. In 1976, an outbreak of the swine flu influenza A virus, subtype H1N1 at Fort Dix, New Jersey, caused one death and hospitalized 13 people. Do you see the hype around that one death and those 13 people? Now, yes, we know that the COVID was a bioweapon and it killed hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the
millions.
World. But they utterly failed in the proportions that they were hoping for, I'm quite sure. That's just my speculation because I believe it was a bioweapon.
You
got
to build up to these things slowly. They'll improve the next one.
Well, here comes the Delta variant. Okay. Anyway, right. I mean, here's the flashback. See, do you start to see the bigger picture, though, folks? The bigger picture is that this conditioning, this brainwashing, the matrix of the political, the dark side, let's put it that way, has been around. It's been with us. It's almost like evil itself. It's just been here with humans ever since the beginning. The psychological darkness, the dark side, I should say. In clip 26, there's a doctor that says COVID restrictions are political and not medical. Listen to this.
Well, doctors tell OAN that COVID-related restrictions are based on politics, not science, and the country is ready to fully reopen today. On America's Pearson Sharp sat down with Dr. Brian Tyson, who warns that governors like Gavin Newsom are just abusing their power.
We're heading out of the worst of the pandemic. How does the situation look for you now, a doctor who's been treating this so-called crisis on the front lines?
Actually, it looks like it's over. Business has gone back to usual. More urgent care issues such as sprained ankles, kids are out playing, sports. Common colds are coming back around, the pharyngitis that we see every summer.
So then if things are looking normal now and the rates of infection are going down, why are we still in a state of emergency? Why is there still this crisis in the media?
So the state of emergency, which nobody wants to really talk about, is over. And when that means is these government mandates then should also be over. The abusive power that we're seeing right now on the governor level and some of the Democratic states is just taking advantage.
Like here in California.
They're taking advantage of their ability to continue these mandates despite there being no evidence of a state of emergency.
All right. Now in clip 9, Dr. Fauci, he's such a Tony. Listen to what Dr. Fauci said just yesterday. Listen to this.
How are we doing as we move toward the 4th of July weekend in 2021?
In general, Joe, we're doing very, very well. I mean, if you look at the implementation of the vaccine program, more than 50% of the adults in the country are fully vaccinated. About 66, 67% of adults have at least one dose. And importantly, among the elderly, the most vulnerable, more than 80% have received at least one dose. The cases themselves, the hospitalizations, the deaths, as the country on a whole is doing extremely well. So we're really very fortunate that we have vaccines that not only in the clinical trials, Joe, but actually in the real world setting have been shown to be highly effective and safe.
He's a liar. He's just a liar. Now, in clip 10, this is in Toronto, Canada. Here's a guy that's just on the street. Good-looking guy, bodybuilder. Listen to what he says.
Don't need a mask. The mask is about compliance because they know Canadians like to do what they're told. So if they tell you you have to wear a mask, next they're going to tell you you have to contact trace. Then they're going to tell you you have to take the vaccine. And because Canadians like to do what they're told, they're hoping that everyone just complies. And then guess what, kids? Once you take your vaccine, like a dumb person that doesn't know any better, they're going to tell you, sorry, the vaccine isn't as effective as we thought it was going to be. So now you still got to wear your mask, still got to get contact trace, still have all the restrictions and social distancing, and still take your vaccine. And then what did you get out of all of this? You got a whole year where you weren't allowed to travel. Your business was closed. They took your rights and freedoms. They forced the vaccine on you. And what happened? The same amount of people died. Everything is the exact same. And now they're going to put you back on lockdown and bring it all the way till July of next year so they can do the same thing again. Bring you from July, August, and September, getting you off lockdown, but just to bring you back on lockdown again. If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class. And that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
This guy deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for science.
He just nailed it. That was amazing.
In about a minute and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Now,
very
wait,
concise.
Because one more in this segment here, clip 11, please play it.
I'm curious to know how much that variant or even potentially that mutation, seeing it as it's more transmissible, causes more severity in terms of the disease, could derail the United States, particularly in those areas, in those states, with much lower vaccination rates than we have, for example, here in New York.
The warning flags are coming up internationally again, particularly with this Delta variant. The United Kingdom at this point is almost 100% with the Delta variant. The United States right now, we're 20% and climbing. We're probably in a month or two now, we'll see the Delta variant as the dominant strain. What's interesting when you look at some of the data that in the United Kingdom, they had 90,000 cases of COVID, 1,000 hospitalizations, of which 8% of the people were fully vaccinated. So, I mean, it's a problem. There was an Israeli study that just got done, and what they looked at there was about half of the people that were infected in this cohort were folks that had the vaccine.
So, see, here comes the fear again. See, it is a cycle.
Yeah, be afraid.
It's a cycle, and they found that it had worked fairly successfully, except for one thing. The one thing is that there are people who still think for themselves. See, and so no matter degree of fear, see, we are actually the new military, and I'll tell you why. Because we are capable of facing the enemy without fear. We are the military, we have a great military, an actual military, but we are the civilian military. We are the people who can stand up to the enemy without fear. That's what we are. We are the MAGA people. Yeah, we're not maggots, we're MAGA. All right, David and Mike, we'll be right back for more Perilous World Radio. Don't go away.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Erica McKenzie died and stood in the presence of her creator, and he showed her something about the power of words. So what did God say to her?
God put the palm of his hand down and appeared in the palm of his hand a huge rock. You are the rock. You are the light. The light is of me, and I am with you. And as he said that, he let go of the rock, and we watched the rock begin to fall together. And finally, it made one big impact that set off one ripple.
Each of us has the power to affect good or bad change in other people. Just like Erica McKenzie experienced what God was telling her about the rippling effect of water, that each human being has an effect on another. And this is why the secret power of words will help you understand your sensitivity to words and the power they hold over you.
And we stood together and we watched as that ripple, it grew and it grew and it grew and it grew till I couldn't even see the border of that single ripple. And God said to me, mankind is the water. You are the ripple.
The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters explains why words affect you so deeply and why they don't have to. Words can be confusing and destructive, except for when they are loaded with meaning in order to convey understanding. One person uses words to say the right thing, another person twists the facts. Which one do you believe? What is the truth? Confusing? Yes, but if you have understanding, you will not be confused. If you have objectivity, you can see the intent behind each person's words.
God said, "You are the ripple. Your thoughts, words, and actions will affect mankind as the ripple does the water."
Visit FHU.com and order The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
Oh, science! Don't you just love science?
I love science.
You're scaring me, David.
Science. I love science. Oh, but wait a minute. See, the difference is I like science that's actual. I don't like fake science. Well, and of course, there are certain levels of science. There are levels of science that don't conform to the idea of what other people, who are on the left, I should say, believe science is. Now listen to this, Mike, clip 12.
President Trump was a controversial figure. Okay, we were controversial in the Trump administration, but there was such bias against the president that even thinking that you were helping the president, you were, excommunicated from the scientific community. And I think that's a really important factor. And
if you, I want to just dig in on that a little bit. So I'm a physician, and we did in residency, this thing called Journal Club that was designed to teach us how to see bias in medical studies. We would look at, well, were the researchers funded by the drug they're investigating? So breaking it down to the simplest level, was there selection bias in the population examined in the study? All these different types of bias in science, right? What I just heard from you is that there is a new bias in our scientific community, and it is Trump. And if you are going to research anything that could, prove the president's statements true, then that absolutely is rejected out of hand.
God, that is amazing. It is amazing in it, but I know that it's true because I watched the whole thing happen way back when Trump suggested that hydroxychloroquine might have some promise, back last May or something. And
I'm sorry,
they
Mike.
Immediately rejected
it. I'm so nervous. I can't stop giggling. Because you know what? Because I'm one of those people that's been busted for woke science. I mean, but we go back to Al Gore's hockey stick. And we go back to the global warming, and it was a joke back then, and it's a joke today.
Yes.
But Al Gore, they still drag him out they drag him out to say what they want him to say. Please listen to the next clip.
therefore a form of bias? Is that what I'm hearing?
You are hearing that, and I'm going to tell you, and I am not going to go into specifics, but physicians who were on the task force or who were around the task force were under tremendous pressure from their scientific colleagues to not even show up with the president on stage advising the Oval Office. Tremendous pressure, and they felt it. This was real. And again, I'm not going to read into her, but I'll just say Dr. Birx said she knew her career was over the moment she came to the task force because she would be prejudicially sought
excommunicated from the scientific community because she may have supported some thesis that but scientifically was true, and we all know to be true, but Trump supported.
Well, it's not even the thesis. It's just being on the same place with the president. I think
you can't even be in the same room, huh?
Right, and that's true.
And people died because of the false information that has been put out.
Yeah, people died because those liars lied.
It's not even a well-kept secret anymore that the scientific community, as it relates to government-funded science, has been corrupt for many years. And, they shouldn't have any credibility anymore. The people that were telling us, you got to trust the science. They were saying that because they knew that the science was politically motivated and would swing to their way of seeing things. That's the only time when they want science to be trusted.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. And again, let's play the clip 25. Go ahead.
A recent study shows additional data indicating hydroxychloroquine can be effective in treating those infected with COVID-19. Here's more.
Recent studies regarding hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin contribute more evidence of the efficacy in the treatment of COVID-19. A study by the St. Barnabas Medical Center found the combination of hydroxychloroquine and the antibiotic azithromycin effectively suppresses the virus. The study suggests this treatment can increase survival chances by nearly 200% if given at high doses to mechanically ventilated patients with severe COVID illness. Scientists say higher doses of hydroxychloroquine led to a quicker recovery in 87% of observed patients. This, despite public health officials, including Dr. Anthony Fauci, having spent months denying the effectiveness of hydroxychloroquine in treating COVID-19.
You know, I ask myself, Mike, does it really matter if I get on the radio and try to tell an actual degree of truth that is actually helpful to people? I was thinking about it this morning.
Yeah, not much.
But I think that for my soul, for my own sake, it's what I have to do. So the point is,
of course,
does matter. It does matter, but I want people to all think about that idea, that it matters whether or not you tell the truth, it matters whether or not you tell a lie, it matters whether or not you share truth with other people, it matters if you don't tell the truth to other people.
Yeah,
it all matters in the bigger picture.
In this particular case, what it is a numbers game. They have more influence than you do. And that's how they've been able to perpetuate the lie that there is no treatment for COVID-19.
It is a lie.
They've repeated it often enough and it downplayed these stories. And there's people that want to follow what the news tells them. And, those people are going to be the first in the meat grinder, I guess.
Well, you got the last word today, Mike. It is the end of this particular PWE. Perilous World Experience. But tomorrow there's another. So do join us then. David@FHU.com. If you have comments for Mike Jones or myself or Alan or Pat Kelly, you can always email Alan@FHU.com. Alan@FHU.com. Tomorrow is another show. Thanks for joining us. Be here then.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.